Good morning. The reading is Jonah chapter 1 verses 1 to 12, and that's on page 927 of the Church Bible. So Jonah chapter 1, 1 to 12, page 927. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he has already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. It is one of the busiest international airport with many terminals. Each terminal has got lots of gates, and flights are departing to different countries every 3 seconds. Our friend was already late to the airport. So after he checking in all the baggages and the immigration clearance was done, he was rushing to see the display board, which gate he has to go for his embarkation. He saw the display board and he checked his flight name. Yes, British Airlines, that's right. When is my departure time? 12:20, that's correct. And he quickly jumped into the gate number to see which number he had to go. And he found the gate number was 52. Just 10 minutes was left for him to rush to the gate number. So he was running to that gate, and eventually he reached the gate in time. The passengers were called to board in the flight. So our friend went and jumped in the queue, and he was already on the queue. At last, he reached. And the airport authorities, they were checking the boarding pass. And our friend's turn came, and he showed his boarding pass, and they checked in, and they said, "You are at the wrong embarkation." This is Terminal 1, Gate 52, but you need to go to Terminal 5, Gate 52. Our friend was supposed to go to Indonesia, but he was standing in the queue to wrongly embark to Indianapolis. So our hero in this story, Mr. Jonah, has wrongly, intently boarded in the wrong ship. Specifically chose the opposite direction to travel. He bought the right ticket for wrong embarkation. God said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. This is what God said to Jonah the prophet. What did Jonah do? Jonah heard the message. Jonah listened to God. But what did he eventually do? He left from his place called Gath Hepher. It is a place, Gath Hepher, it is a place in Galilee, and instead of he was taking ticket to go to Nineveh, which is just 550 miles, he deliberately bought the wrong ticket to go to Tarshish, which is 2,500 miles in distance. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, what God asked him to do. He purposefully chosen to go to the wrong one. Jonah, the story, every Christian and even a Sunday school child, they will be knowing about the story of Jonah. It is a more familiar story to everyone. This morning, what God has called us to look and meditate upon this book. Jonah is like a fairy tale story, but it has a lot of conspiracies. Still, people are not convinced about the book, and there is a strong debate that prevails about this book until now. How would it be possible? That was the only question coming to many theologians and people, those who are doing research on this book of Jonah. How would it be possible? So today, instead of investigating the digestive system of the big fish and Jonah's comfortable 3 days lodging in its belly, we are called to meditate about the prophet's attitude and his response to God. What was his attitude? His attitude was more self-centered, and he was hatred toward the enemies. Self-centered and hatred are the two basic qualities that every believer should avoid. These signs are completely against our Christian doctrine. Self-centered and hatred towards enemies. Christ is a perfect example. When he came down to this earth, he did not bring his divine glory. If he was self-centered, then he could not be fully human when he was living on this earth. When he came down, we were his enemies. We were sinners of this world. But still, this holy God, he came down to love us even when we were still sinners. So the foremost principle for every Christian to follow is not to have self-centered, having a selfless life, and love even our enemies. However, Jonah missed these 2 points, and he wrongly chosen to have that self-centeredness in him. This character of self-centered in Jonah can be noticed when he was ministering as a prophet in the kingdom of Jeroboam during 730 BC. He was a prophet. He was working in a Jeroboam period. And in his Jeroboam period, if you read 2 Kings 23 to 25, the previous slide, 23 to 25, you can see that King Jeroboam reigned for about 41 years. And he was an evil king like all the rest of the other Israelite kings. So during that period of Renaissance, Jonah was a prophet. What was Jonah saying there to Jeroboam and the people? He said, he restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath Hepher. So this prophet is what the Jonah we are meditating today. So he brought this news to the Israelite people. He was telling to Israelites that you will find victory in your wars, and you will restore your territory and your strength. So it must be an encouraging message. It must be an attractive message to the people. When you go and tell, you will be enjoying your life hereafter, you will be showered with blessings, eventually we all will be happy. That's what Jonah was doing, telling to the kingdom of Israel, don't worry, victory is coming. You are going to restore all the territories what you have lost so far. So obviously, Jonah might have been recognized as a popular prophet in the court of Jeroboam. And he must have given a central role in the reign of Jeroboam. So Jonah might have had his feel of patriotic pride in restoring the Israelites. When we see Jonah, we can see that he was persistently thinking to continue his way of comforting and bringing positive messages even now to the Ninevites situation. He wanted to win the hearts of the people by saying the words that are favor to the people and the authority. He always wanted to bring a positive message. He did not want to get insulted by the people or even the people to think against him by bringing a rebuking or a warning message. So we can clearly see Jonah was basically a politician rather than a prophet. He wanted to live in a comfort zone. He doesn't want to be criticized. He wants to win always people's heart. He wants to say always good things. But here, the situation is different. We must have seen men like Jonah trying to win people's heart by bringing comforting, soothing, and prosperity messages, which makes everyone happy. But Jonah was asked by God to go and give a discomfort message, a threatening message to the Ninevites. That's why Jonah was running to the opposite direction. It was not geographically opposite direction alone and a far distant away from his zone, but also spiritually. He was far away from God. He left God far away. He wanted to live that comforting zone period, which he lived in Jeroboam's reign, as well in this Ninevite situation. He was worried that if you bring that warning message to the impending doom of the Ninevites, they might repent. And if they repented, whatever the verdict that God has proposed will be uplifted, and these people, Ninevites, would call Jonah as the false prophet. That's what his worry was. I don't want to be called as a false prophet. Whatever I say, it should be happening. I know who God is. I know the God is Lord of grace and compassion. I know what his plan is. He is asking me to go and tell the Ninevites the wrong message, but eventually the Ninevites, if they changed their heart, then they would think of me as a false prophet. They would say, look, Jonah, what did you do? What did you say? You said that our Nineveh city will be overturned. But what happened? Nothing happened. Whatever you have told is a lie. So are you a false prophet? He doesn't want to gain that name from the Ninevites. One thing we need to notice here. He had the fear on the people. But sadly, that great prophet called by God, he lost his fear for the Lord. He did not think about the Lord Almighty has called me. Whatever he has commanded me, I will do that. He did not do that. He was thinking about all the rest of the consequences in his human sense. And he was saying, what if people say wrong about me, I want to gain their hearts. Unfortunately, he missed to gain the heart of God. If we read the book of Jonah in a glance, in an overview, like superficially, we can see this prophet has a character of contradictory. At one place, Jonah says, I worship the Lord of Creator. He says that my Creator has created the heavens and the earth. Yet, knowing the supremacy of God, what did he do? He was running to the opposite direction. A question must arise now in our hearts. If he knew about God very well, why did he run away from God? Didn't he know that our Lord is omnipresence? If he has created the whole universe, his spirit must be dwelling everywhere, and we cannot hide from his presence. Even when we go and hide under somewhere, do you think he cannot see us? Even if he puts his bed under the valley of death, his presence will be there. So we cannot escape from God's presence. Very simple thing, Jonah missed out. Again, in some other situation, Jonah was saying to the sailors, throw me into the water. The storm will be stopped and your problem will be solved. Yet knowing the power of God, he knew the power of God, the God who can send the storm and the same God can receive back it. He knows the power. Even after knowing the power of God, he was going and sleeping in the under deck, lower deck of the ship. Didn't he realize the God is omnipotent? It is about saying, like, knowing God. I know God, but not knowing him completely. We may be sailing in the same boat. We may be thinking that after being Christians for many years, we have come to know God fully. We may be thinking that we have a clear understanding of about who God is and what he has called for. Sometimes we might miss the basic and fundamental element of Christendom. Who God is and what God has called for. God is love, and He has called us to love everyone. Very simple, very basic principle. But sometimes when we give more details to other nuances, we forget about this basic thing. Love. God is loving us, and He is asking us to love everyone. Are we doing that? Are we self-centered, looking for our own comfort? Do we have hatred against anyone? The self-centered, if it enhances, it will aggravate into hatred towards the enemies. This was exactly happening in Jonah's situation. Jonah, he knew the intention of God, of calling him to take a warning message to the Ninevites. But he did not want to execute that. He feared whether Ninevites would hear that message. Basically, Jonah did not want the Ninevites to be repented. That was the pinnacle of the hatred someone would have. Sometimes we say that Jesus is mine. Jesus is my own God. Jesus is to our own church. Jesus is to our own community. Jesus is mine. I don't want. But we miss the element. Jesus is mine, but He is God to all. Jonah missed that point. Jonah, according to Jonah, the Ninevites were the outsiders. He was from Hebrew, Israelite origin. For him, the Ninevites, who came under the Assyrian descendancy, they were all outsiders. So he was expecting, he was thinking in his own, they cannot come and partake with God's children, the Israelites, in receiving God's grace. So Jonah lost the basic biblical doctrine of God's common grace is available to all. He lost the point that when people repent for their sins, they will receive forgiveness from God, and it is allotted to everyone. He lost that. He did not want Ninevites to come back. Have you thought about it? Yes, Jesus is mine, but He is for sharing. It is very difficult. When we receive materialistic things, it is my own, so we will keep it inside our home. But Jesus, He is mine, but He is for sharing. We need to go and tell about Christ to everyone. What did Jonah do? He could not understand. He was a prophet. He reigned with Jeroboam's period and did all work, but always preferred to do comforting job, self-centered, and he wants his own people to be saved. That is more self-centered and hatred. So he went from Joppa, the station, to Tarshish instead of going to Ninevite. Joppa. If you think about Joppa, it was the same place where Peter, our apostle, in the New Testament, he got the revelation from God. He was called to go and minister to the Jewish community. So he was there up in the terrace one afternoon, and he had a vision from God, and the vision was showing the list of animals that you can kill and eat anything. What does it mean? What happened after that? The Spirit of the God led him to Cornelius, the Gentile. Nobody thought during that time the Gentiles will be included in God's salvation plan. But Peter's eyes were opened. In the same place, Joppa, he went to Cornelius' house, and he visually see how the work of the Spirit is working among the Gentiles too. And he accepted them. So the inclusion of Ninevites was a prelude of God's salvation plan. It is a kind of foretaste of the Old Testament scriptures about the extension of the new covenant. It happened in Jonah's period. Peter agreed, Peter accepted, he went and included Gentiles, and he was amazed about the work of God. But Jonah, he did not want. He reluctantly ran away from the place where God has called. I don't want to go and tell. I know your plan. You will save them anyway. But you are asking me to give a negative prophecy, false prophecy. So I don't want to do that. Imagine, if we have called by God to go and tell the people whom we know already that they are doing something wrong, what are we up to? Immediately we think that, how will I go and tell them that they are doing wrong? Won't I lose their relationship? Will they talk to me ever after? It will be a delicate message to pass it on to even the one you knew that they are doing something wrong. No, you are doing wrong. God has sent me, God has given this, and I am coming and telling you. It's very difficult. One step ahead. If God is calling us to go and tell the people that we have never met before that they are doing something wrong, what would be our reaction? We would say, same like Jonah, God, you want to put me in trouble? If I go and tell those people whom I never met before that you are doing wrong, I cannot do that. I will be caught up in trouble. But in all these things, these are all very human understanding. But we need to elevate ourselves one step above that. Who has called us? Who has warned us? Who is sending us? We need to see the power of the one, the sovereignty of God who has called us. What is his purpose for bringing that people into this salvation plan? He is using us as one of the tools. Is that not a privilege? Hosea, we saw that a few weeks before. God asked him to go and marry a prostitute. He went and married a prostitute. Joel, he was a temple prophet. He was called to go and tell the locust devastation is due to the Israelites' adolescence. He obeyed it. It was very difficult. But Jonah, he was more like us. We cannot criticize him. Sometimes when God calls us, how we are responding? Immediately are we jumping into our own conclusion, thinking that, can I do that? Will I do that? Won't I caught up in trouble? Or, yes, Lord, I know your power. You have called me. The God who has called me will not send me on my own. He will come with me. He will give me words. He will protect me. He will help me. He is going to use me. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 28. Go and make the disciples of all the nations. It was not like go and tell the people whom you know. It was telling to everyone what God has done, who Jesus is, why he gave his life for us. Come and be restored. That's what you and me are called by God today, to go and tell about the good news. When will we go and rebuke? When will we go and give a warning message? To whom we will do that? Immediately we will say that, my children, if they do something wrong, if my brother does something wrong, if my own kith and kin do something wrong, I don't want them to be lost, to come into eternity. I want them to be corrected now itself. I want them to carry God's good news. So we will go and tell them. That's the same way we need to love everyone. If we have anything hatred in our hearts today, God is calling us to remove that from our heart. If we are hating anyone in our life, I hope Ashish has not had that history, but you can think about someone else outside. Do we have hatred against them? Are we considering them as enemies? What is blocking me? God is asking me to love them. I don't want to live a self-centered life. I want to go out and tell that. This is what we need to question ourselves today. Have we embarked correctly? Jonah purposefully did the wrong embarkation. There are many ministries we can choose. If we have chosen the ministry which is through our own interest, our own passion, our own comfort, then it is a kind of wrong embarkation. If we have chosen the ministry, what the word of God, what the God has called us to choose, and we have obeyed willingly, then it is a right embarkation. So this afternoon, when we go back, let us think about it. Have I embarked correctly? What is it missing in me? Am I self-centered? Am I thinking about my own comfort? Or am I hating anyone? If it is so, these two, hating even the enemies and self-centeredness, are the basic fundamental principles that Christian doctrine completely do not agree with that. God came to love us and He has asked us to love everyone. Amen.